This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome in everyone to Dig on America, a socio-political podcast where every week we give you a dig on U.S. history, politics, policy, and sometimes pop culture, and we discuss how they affect social issues today. DOA is independent media, sponsored by listeners, but also a likely George Soros-funded deep state propaganda arm. Yeah, probably also funded by the Clinton Foundation, Jay-Z, anyone else you can think of?
Mumra.
Where'd you pull that one from?
That's what I do, I pull things from.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
He pulls things from places, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the show for the day. There you go.
See you next week.
Okay. First things first. I think we pronounce his name Quintal. Is the gentleman that we hired to do
Quintal.
I'm not sure.
Quintal. Trust me.
Trust you. Why? Why should I trust you to pronounce someone's name that you've never met in person?
You've never pronounced one name right in your entire life.
This is true.
But see,
I knew what you were going to say. So because he's black, you automatically know exactly how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, because I've seen fucking variations of that name my whole life.
That is astonishing.
Quintal. Trust me.
I think it's Tylenol.
So you'll be wrong.
You're gonna fuck around.
I know how to pronounce white people's names when I meet them too. It's generally James, Phil.
Boring.
Frederick.
Go on with your Laura Phil.
Or Mikey. Yep.
Thank you, colonizers.
Anyway. Can we share that what we have behind us right now without taking all of us off the screen? Is there a way to do that to share
give me a second.
New logo here?
Let's
share with the listeners the new logo that's coming up. If you're on the audio, you're just going to have to look.
I'm about to say, what you mean share with the listeners?
Online.
The listeners can't see.
Actually, though, while we're waiting for that, the website is back up. I am happy to announce the website is back up, and the website is now digonamerica.com. And there you go. We just had it, and then we unhad it. So there you go. There is a variation of the new Dig on America logo. Big Haas, I think he likes this particular layout the best of all of them. Big Haas, what are your thoughts on the new logo? What do you like about it?
It pops. It has that it has that je ne sais quoi to it. It has that, bang. And then in the background, you got the old glory waving in the background. It's not bad with that cigar smoke kind of feel to it. It's looking a little bit hazy. The flag is a little dingy because America itself is a little imperfect. I like the symbolism there.
The symbology.
It's the symbolic
nature of the imperfectness of the flag that parallels and correlates, and if I say digests, with the jargotization of America as an essence, as an existential cobbler to society.
I hate you.
So this will probably be the last show where you'll see that little watermark. All right. So Big Haas, welcome into the show. Mikey Famine, welcome into the show. Listeners, welcome into the show. Today we are, we don't have a particularly singular topic. We have more of a cornucopia of
a smorgasbord.
It's the old country buffet
of it's history. The Shonies of
I would say it's more like a charcuterie of topics.
Okay, I'm down with a charcuterie board. Yeah, put your, I like
put
that.
Put your pinky up. You know, put your pinky up today.
There we go. And we will have a
human my good man, you would you have any Grey Poupon for the charcuterie?
I've got something for you.
Charcuterie table.
Who was here last week? Or was it 2 weeks ago? And I showed. I stayed after the show, and I showed Tim, and then I showed somebody else. Who the hell was here? Was it Herfcast? I think it was Brian from Herfcast.
Might have been.
He knew it because he's from the area.
It was somebody who wasn't from Chicagoland. I showed them all three of the Eagle Man commercials. They're like, "What is this?"
And it was the one with Mancow, and Irma, and then we talked about Mancow and how Mancow decided he was going to go all right winger around 98 or so. Yeah, it's when he went crazy.
Yeah,
but we're gonna talk about a few different topics today, as far as history goes. But real quick, I just want to see: did you guys see this? You guys see, because it's Pride Month. So, did you guys see this story where the pool Karen? Have you seen the pool Karen story?
Oh, where two people were kissing and she went told.
Yeah.
I think it was two guys.
No, it was two girls. It was two African American women. And they were making out at the pool, and these two white ladies who were there with their husbands, and the husbands apparently didn't say a word, but the two women just went ballistic on them and said
they were too busy taking surreptitious video.
Well, when they were leaving, all these college kids that were there were chanting, "Shame, shame, shame, shame," and they were like yelling and arguing and trying to get their point across, but all they kept doing was yelling, shame.
Shit was funny.
Like Game of Thrones. It was so fucking hilarious, dude.
It was so funny.
That was one of my
they wouldn't even go off of whatever she was trying to, they were trying to say to her, fuck that. Shame, shame, shame. And it was fucking golden. It was lovely. I loved it.
Oh, that was great.
Mm-hmm. That kind of exposes something as well. Like, the non-white members of the LGBTQ plus family have it even worse because even if you're gay, even if you're lesbian, you're still getting that added racial stigma on top of it.
It's always the cherry.
Yeah, it's like, well, I was gonna let it slide, but then they happened. And they were black on top of it, and then they want to take it all the way up, and it's like, okay, well, let's go.
You notice the wives said something, but not the husband. The husbands were into it.
I told you the husbands was sick. They were taking Snapchat video. They were like this.
Look, I'm about to hit this. Let me Brett, take a selfie. Brett, real quick.
Brett,
he's like, I'm gonna say,
are you seeing this shit, Brett?
I'm putting Brazzers on pause this month.
Right. I got my own Pornhub right here.
You know what?
That's a 1 hour showers.
You know what, Mildred? This is disgusting. Let me record this so I can put this on social media. The neighbors need to see this.
The neighbors need to see what the fuck's going on here.
Henry, you still haven't posted the video to what is it called? My Pillow Guys thing. You haven't uploaded it to the My Pillow Guys social media site yet.
Believe me, honey, it's been uploaded.
No, you know, I keep getting an error every time I do it. It's so crazy. You know these damn computers.
I get a 404.
Well, delete that trash off your phone.
Okay,
I did.
Okay, it's off the phone already.
Let me see your phone.
It's already off the phone.
I'm gonna pull that CD Lamb's girlfriend thing. Give me your phone, CD.
You ain't gotta worry about it. You ain't gotta worry about it being on the phone. It's not on the phone no more.
Totally didn't email it to myself.
No, it's not in my. It's not on a thumb drive.
Their defense,
I would never do that.
They were
it's not in the cloud
about.
Already.
Delete the
no,
cloud,
no, no,
baby.
It's not in the cloud. It's on my personal laptop.
Right.
So one of the things that one of these ladies was yelling at these kids, yelling shame, and they didn't listen. But she's trying to like make this. She's what she feels is a salient point.
Yeah,
and she goes, "Do you have children?" do you think it's okay for children to see that? And they're like, shame, shame, shame. But the
people kiss in front of kids all the time. What the fuck?
I'm glad you said that, because here's what I want to do. I'm tired of people saying
you want to kiss.
They don't want to see like gay kissing on TV and stuff like that. Oh no, yeah, let's do that here.
Mm-mm. Oh, beard, gross.
Hey, the wife likes the tickly beard.
You're spiky.
But like,
got to put that yo-yo box in that.
They always talk about how you know, I just don't want them to do it in public or that sort of thing. Like, if I were, let's pretend for a minute that I'm gay, Jason. I am gay. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I saw straight people kissing on television
all the time.
I saw straight people kissing in music videos. Mm-hmm. I saw straight people kissing at church, mm-hmm. at concerts, mm-hmm. in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yet somehow I still became gay.
Right.
So
that's the devil.
How is it that someone would have the rational thought to think that because my 4-year-old sees two gay people kissing, mm-hmm. that they are going to automatically themselves be more prone to becoming gay had they right. not seen it?
There you go, trying to be rational again.
Now, I will tell you, like, I'm not a huge fan of people getting like overly affectionate in public, regardless of who they are.
Right.
But that, so I don't know what level these gals were doing it, but I also know for a fact that it was because they were gay, because the women said that they were, it was because that was what it was. They said it with their mouths. Do you think kids should be watching those two women kiss? Mm-hmm. Sure. Because when they see it, they realize maybe it's kind of normal.
Right.
And then they don't think you're a weirdo when they meet someone in their life who is that way.
Right.
And then they treat them like a human. They treat them like a human.
Right.
This shocking thing called treat people like humans.
You can even treat people something better than human. Treat them like they're none of your fucking business. How about that? Treat them like it's none of your business. Just mind your own business. That's a full-time job.
If you, all you got to do is keep walking.
Yeah.
Keep walking. Come on, Johnny. Let's go.
Well, CD and Aliman says he'd like to see us talk about Star Wars is better than Star Trek. But the funny thing is, if I were talking about Star Wars and you like Star Trek, God, I can't believe Dutch was talking about Star Wars. Now I have to like Star Wars. Because everyone's so influenced. It just doesn't make any sense. All right. I was talking about the same thing. You didn't stay with the you got to stay with the flow, Mikey. You know, keep up.
I lost it.
Just because people do things or talk about things doesn't mean that they're going to influence you. And you see me eat liver and all of a sudden you like liver. Makes no sense. So I'll tell you what. Let's get human into liver. Human livers. Yes. Hello, Clarice.
You know, that's a misconception. He never said that in the movie.
Really?
We all put that in our head.
I'm pretty sure I heard him say, hello, Clarice.
He go back and watch it.
From behind the plexiglass?
Go back and watch it. It's one of those things like, where the fuck did I get that from? It's like a Mandela effect thing. He never says hello, Clarice.
Interesting. I have to watch it again now.
You can say that about the Bible a lot, too. Where do they get that from? It's not in there.
It's just not there.
I don't get where guns is at in the Bible. Can someone tell me where capitalism and guns are in the Bible? Oh, we have...
Trump's coming back.
No, this is Amber Alert here. So Los Angeles, California, Amber Alert. It's just coming in live here. We hate child abductions, as, of course, you know, we're not in the deep state. 2004 black Chevrolet Suburban SUV, license plate number 8UIB679. So if you see that in the LA area, call the fucking cops. Sorry for the Amber Alert. coming on. The second phone will probably go off with that in a moment. But so no guests today.
Could always turn the ringer off right now.
Amber alerts are not stopped by the ringer.
Goes right through that joint.
Turn the whole phone off.
Break the phone.
Flush it.
Mikey Haas, any interesting stories before we get
any
to
any interesting
the
stories?
Topic? Not don't just make something up from four
no,
years
no,
ago.
No.
There's one time at band camp.
Yeah. did you guys see that Matt Gaetz? I think it was Newsmax just released a random statement saying we will not be hiring Matt Gaetz.
Oh
really?
Shocker. they don't have a penitentiary outreach program.
Right. They don't want him to be part of their youth ministry.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking monster.
Man, I had so much weird shit happen this week. I don't know where to start.
Well, give us one.
Are we doing like banter related or like news related?
I'm just trying to break the ice, and Haas is trying to think of something.
No, I'm not trying to think of something. I'm trying to think of how to tell this story.
Okay, go ahead.
Without
be a storyteller. Come on. Storyteller. All right.
So
use fake names.
Yeah.
Okay. I could do that. Okay, I could do that. So
Larry the Cable Guy.
Tim was in Florida with his mom for the last week or so. And Tim usually come to visit on Wednesday. But
Tim Bristol, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tim comes to see me on Wednesday. But this time, no, I'm just playing.
Careful, pool Karen will call the police on you.
So
it's my pool.
Tim and mom got home.
That don't matter. It's my neighborhood.
Tim and mom got home yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And all day they were on vacation. Mom felt like she needed a vacation from the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim has been here since yesterday when he got home. And it's just, who needs vacation from vacation? That's just, it's weird.
I plan on taking an extra week offline when I come back from my cruise, just so y'all know.
Okay. You have to do that. You have to have the buffer days.
Yeah, because
at least one.
I'm not going to be reading any politics. I'm not going to be reading any debates. I'm not gonna care. I'm going out there and I'm cutting all ties to the mainland.
I think while I'm in California, I'll be off the grid as well.
I'm getting a zero dark 30. I'm out of here. Y'all can't get a hold of me. I'm gone.
When are you in California?
23rd through the 28th.
Oh, so you won't be on the show that week. Okay. Interesting. And Mike is going on a cruise. So it looks like next week I will not be on the show.
Let Tim and Sweet Haas do the show.
Haas will not be on the show the week after that. And then Mikey, sounds like shortly thereafter, will be trapped on a cruise ship.
No, my cruise ain't until September.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh.
But you couldn't September. Pay me to go on a cruise, though, right now.
Man, shit. Everybody's scared to go. That's why I'm going. Yeah,
I would go for sure. I'm with Mikey. They're going to be underpopulated.
It's going to be half empty boat.
Yep.
I
liquor stocked.
I don't like being out there where I can't see land.
Oh, so you're just talking about being on boats in general?
Yes.
That's
the thing for me.
Now, it's like once you walk up to the docks or whatever, and you do one of these, and then one of these, and your head tilts up a little bit more, like, oh, this motherfucker go down. We're just going to touch the bottom. The lifeboats are the size of minivans.
Okay. Yeah, who's to say that you're not just rolling on the bottom of the ocean as it is?
As far as I'm concerned, we're just dragging through the bottom. Like, yeah, exactly.
Which one are you going on? Which line?
Royal Caribbean.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. That is funny because I watched a documentary about the cruise that went through Japan and stuff. And they all got corona and shit and how big that boat was. I was like, fuck.
Did they all turn to zombies?
No, they didn't all. But it was just funny because I believe that's the cruise that Trump said, "Hey, I don't want those people to get off the boat because my numbers gonna go up."
Yeah, he tried to keep him from coming home.
Hey, fuck your health. No. I don't want my stats to go up because I said 15 down to zero, bitch.
What a complete
and they still fucking, voted for him.
What this a mother, complete God, fucking idiot.
Damn. This is what we got 15 cases now. Pretty soon it'll be zero. 300 some thousand cases later. 300 some thousand deaths later. Yeah. 74 million people still went out and voted for this motherfucker. After it came out that he knew how bad it was and intentionally played it down. I like playing it down. And they still went out and voted for that fuck ass. In rant.
They said, you know what? Let's do that again. I'll have 4 more years of that, please.
We can't be having all these people get off of the cruise ship because once they do, the numbers are going to triple or quadruple or times 11 because I'm very good at math, so I know I'm right.
I've got a big brain.
Very big brain. Very bigly hands, as you can see. They're very, very bigly hands. And what we don't want bigly.
They're very big for a 6-year-old.
We don't want bigly corona numbers. It's Chinese.
That's
they brought it here. Let's keep it back there.
Now, hold on a second. Now that brings up something I want to talk about. How long?
Yes.
How long do I have to acknowledge someone's college achievements? That motherfucker went to college 45 years ago.
Hey, for free.
And got a bachelor. Like, your bachelor's from 45 years ago don't mean shit. Like, if you haven't continued your education and have stayed in the field, your 45-year-old fucking piece of paper, I mean, a hill of beans.
If you got a piece of paper and some of your college professors say you were the worst student they ever had in the class,
man,
I think that tarnishes your little piece of paper for a while.
Who told you to talk to my professors?
Hey, you know.
When Trump was in college, Pascal wasn't even around in mainstream use yet.
Pascal, whoa, you went back. They didn't have
DOS systems hadn't even been invented.
That's what I'm saying. Like, dude, you went to
basic.
He had electricity, and that was it.
Barely. No,
you had lights.
He had electricity and racism.
He ain't had no overhead projector. He ain't had no vis-a-vis markers.
No transparencies.
No. He probably even had the dope fucking chalk joint that would do the five lines at once.
Yeah.
He probably didn't even had that much.
Now, if you look here at the next transparency, you'll see that the hypotenuse of the pejorative.
Yo, shout out to all the teachers I used to have who would make copies in the teacher's lounge of their transparency.
Yes. And
let us make notes on them.
Yes.
Shout out to the teachers.
Yes.
Because
you could always tell the because they had the black stripes on them.
Yeah.
And they had that little weird border. Hey,
guess what? And back then it wasn't even called a fucking copy machine. It was called a mimeograph.
Yeah.
That's how old I am.
On the matrix paper. You know,
that's older than that. You could smell it. You would get the paper and you could smell it and get a little high if you wanted to. That they had this shit on it.
What was the printers that had the dots on the side that you have to tear off?
Oh man, the dot matrix printers.
Scantron printers?
Dot matrix printers where you had to rip it off.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the frills.
Yeah.
No.
And God forbid them.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah. God forbid they get off track.
They had the holes on the both sides.
Yes, yep. They had the spikes on both sides. And it was
green, white. Yeah. I remember
that. That Good Morning Vietnam paper.
That shit would get caught. That shit would get caught in them fucking printers, dude. Oh my God.
Yes.
You'd be there for about 45 minutes trying to unjam them.
You know something? I'm so old that I was in the corporate world dealing with that shit for a while before they switched over. Think about that.
Here's the crazy part. If you go into almost any dealership in America today, a car dealership, they're still using
that same shit. They still use the same shit.
Update your shit.
Right.
Why am I still doing things in triplicate?
You go, well, here's your paperwork.
Right. Is it just is it just nostalgic or what?
Can I get you some coffee? Because it's going to be about 14 minutes.
To print out these 7 pages of paper. Real man
of genius. Here's to you.
Old school printer user.
No need to update.
Yo, align those dots.
No, wait a minute. Time out. They got a fucking mid-engine Corvette sitting in the lot. This is archaic ass brontosaurus ass printer. They want me to print shit out on.
Yo, fuck your Corvette can print the shit out.
This motherfucker goes 0 to 60. In 3.
The Corvette's like, give it to me, John. I could print it out in 3 seconds.
Yeah, let me print that on my printer here. I'll tell you what. Send me the email. I'll print it out at home, run and get it real quick, and be right back. And your shit will still be going.
Right. Oh, I got to change. I got to change the ribbon. No.
Your car be 4 years out of date by the time you walk out. So this is all right. Here, this is a top tip. A real man of genius moment. Cue the music, Dutch. Real
man of genius. You ever been mindfucked before?
What you're going to do now, guys, when you go to go buy a new car, you know their printer is ass. You're going to bring your printer from home in the trunk of the old car that you're trading in. And you're going to plug that bitch in with a USB and get your paperwork in 30 seconds like you should.
What's the file name, dude?
See, that's the funny thing. It's like when you go buy a car, they always go, I'm going to get you in the finance department in about 5 to 10 minutes.
No.
Yeah. No. And now you know why. Right. So you could literally bring your own printer with you and say, look, come on over here.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Look what I got.
Look what I got. Look, I got a real fucking printer.
I got that Epson laser.
Dude, I can Bluetooth into your fucking system and get the paperwork quicker than you can print it out.
I'll tell you what.
You can hook me up with an extra set of winter floor mats.
Right.
I know
$500 off.
I know you said you can only do $3,000 on a trade in, but slide that bitch across the desk. How's that strike you?
Here's a 1997 printer.
I bet it's slower than yours.
How's that for an upgrade? That worth $1,500 to you?
This is a Packard Bell. They're out of business and still faster than your shit.
Right.
Then I slammed the Rima paper on the desk. I'm gonna kick in the paper for you. You're a nice guy. Yeah. So I'm gonna give you this ream of paper. And you
guess
know
what?
You got kids at home?
Yeah.
Second ream of paper.
Hey, and then you go like lean in like this, Mikey. It's already separated.
You know what though? It's kind of, if you think about it, I know why they do that.
Oh, because they want to talk into extra shit.
That's not why they do it. They're gonna do that anyway.
Make you bring in your own printer.
There's two main systems that dealerships use. There's Reynolds for their accounting and putting numbers together and finances and all that stuff. It's called Reynolds and Reynolds. And the other one is, I think it's ADP, but I could be wrong. And it might be a different company. But one of them is definitely Reynolds and Reynolds. And everything is literal DOS. Like they have the blinking cursor and everything, right?
Yeah.
So I almost guarantee you that these companies do that because they want to that they've got some sort of deal. I don't know this part, but this is my guess. There's got to be some sort of deal with whoever makes that paper and whoever makes those printers to say, keep us relevant. You know, there's got to be something with them not updating these printers because no dealership has it. None of them. It's fucking astonishing to me. But
that's a perfect analogy for America and our infrastructure.
That's America's ass.
That's exactly how we run things. We'll have a fucking mid-engine fucking Corvette in the lot, but our printer is still from 1978. Yeah. And we see
They got a deal with Jerry.
Yeah. Well, Jerry's great grandson will just go bankrupt if I don't keep buying this archaic, useless ass printer.
You got to keep his annuity afloat.
Well, you know that like these companies do that. Like they have ways of making inferior technology be commonplace so that they can keep their their monopolies. I mean, I think that it was that one of the reasons and this is something I heard on Joe Rogan a long time ago. I'm not sure if it's 100% true.
Gross.
But one of the reasons that
hemp
was made illegal in the first place was because of the paper companies.
Yeah,
they didn't want hemp paper to come and blow them out of the water.
Of course. That's like Betamax versus Sony VHS. Betamax was actually better quality.
Well, you couldn't smoke a Betamax and get high, though.
Remember HD DVDs?
Maybe you could, actually.
Yeah, I remember those.
Where are they at now? My mom is probably one of the last 50 people on Earth that still has an HD DVD player.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost that to Blu-ray.
Yeah, they lost the war.
It was, I think, Toshiba, if I remember correctly, was who had HD DVD. But I thought they had the better name. But yeah.
Blu-ray, you know. Blu-ray won in the end because they got that Disney contract. What up, though?
Yeah.
So is it was because of PlayStation. PlayStation's the reason why.
Because they put the Blu-ray player in there?
Yeah.
That's like the Sega Dreamcast is no longer, like, that was the downfall of Sega.
Dude, the Dreamcast was off the hook, too.
That was my favorite system ever, but they didn't want to spend the money to put the DVD player in it, and the PS2 did.
Yep.
PS2 was, like, the number one selling console for, like, a decade, and then Dreamcast just fizzled and popped because all it could do was play CDs in your games.
Yep. And, like, spend the money.
Just spend the money.
Spend the money.
You're going to get all of our money anyway.
Just letting you know right here that that has been verified. Big paper made hemp illegal. okay. So
that's like Tucker's car, right?
Let's get in. Yeah. Tucker Carlson's car. Let's get into the first of the history topics here. So I sent you guys out a couple of these. What we're going to do today is a little bit different. We're not going to focus on one topic. We're going to focus on, we have like, I think, 7 or 8. Different, very, very short topics each. So we'll just read them and kind of give our thoughts on them. And they're all somewhat little known history for the most part. I'm sure there's people out there that will know a couple of these, and they're sure that there are people that will not know any of them. So as I've said many times before, my 8th grade social studies teacher, Mr. Humble, taught me things in junior high that turns out wasn't always the real story. After doing my own research, which is what the right wingers always tell me to do, we found the real story. So we'll talk about this and then put some socio-political context on it. The very first story that I am going to tell you guys is regarding George Washington. And the source for this, the first couple of these that I have is from Time Magazine. Of course, they're fake. You know, everything in there is fake if you're a right winger. So just
that's
ignore
the liberal media talking, yeah, just, man.
Just ignore it. I hope I'm pronouncing this right, but as you know, mispronouncing stuff is my thing. The Oneida Native Americans.
It's pronounced Quantal.
Yes, it's 11. The 11 Oneida. So during the Revolutionary War, the Oneida allies of the Revolutionary Army walked hundreds of miles from their homeland in what is now upstate New York to relieve the famine at Valley Forge during the winter of 1777-78. They carried hundreds of bushels of white corn on their backs. And once in George Washington's encampment, they taught the revolutionaries how to prepare it so it was edible and thus saved the starving army. But the role that tribal nations played on the side of the United States during that conflict, and by extension in every subsequent one, has been largely ignored. Perhaps most ignobly, Washington himself seems to have forgotten his Indian allies. Immediately after the war, he burned and destroyed dozens of Native American villages in upstate New York to make way for new settlements and an indiscriminate retribution to help some tribes some of the help that tribes gave to the British. I think it's safe to say that the true legacy of Indian Anglo relations has been bad. So yes, go ahead.
All right. So I just finished this docuseries. 4 parts. If you really want to see how bad America fucked over Native Americans in this country and like really see the real brutality of it, you need to watch Exterminate All the Brutes on HBO. I knew it was bad, but I didn't know. Wow. I mean, wow. Some like they listed all of the treaties that were signed between Native American tribes and Americans, and how many, and they were, every one of them was broken. Every one of them was broken by the American side. There's no fucking honor in what they did. And y'all need to watch that docuseries. What's Exterminate All the Brutes on HBO Max. Freaking phenomenal. The director is so good. I got to go watch all his movies now, because he's got tons of movies about the he's got a movie about the genocide in Rwanda. He's got movies about the Haitian Revolution that nobody talks about.
Yep.
Because it totally turned, for a while, it turned people's attitudes about blacks, because they didn't think that black folk had the mental capacity to be military like that and successfully lead a revolution. So that's one of the revolts in American history that is not talked about. So exterminate all the brutes. Flow State, you definitely need to watch it.
Yeah. It's from the New York Times, so no. Big Hoss, you got one for us?
Want me to read the first one?
Yeah, I'll get the next one.
All right. In order is good.
I'm going to read the first one, all right?
Please don't do voices or else I will not be able to pay attention.
Okay, all right. I'm going to do a voice.
You see my dear son fellow? I had to kill you.
I am a child in my mind. I can't focus.
In April 28th, 1832, African-American writer, Flow State just left, and lecturer Maria Stewart spoke before Boston's African-American Female Intelligence Society, becoming the first American woman on record to speak about politics to an audience comprised of both men and women. In her lectures on the challenges of ending slavery and securing civil rights, Stewart called into question men's leadership, suggesting that it was time for the black woman to exercise greater public influence. Though she had supporters, many thought that Stewart had gone too far, of course. Ridicule led Stewart to deliver her farewell address in September 1833.
Of course!
She was not done, however.
Jesus.
And spent the balance of her life training future generations of young black women to enter public life. Early histories of the women's suffrage movement too often obscured the roles played by those like Stewart, of course, who had come before its authors, who included Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Their version was long accepted as authoritative. Historian Marilyn Richardson revealed a new story when she recovered Stewart's legacy for us in her 1987 book, Maria W. Stewart, America's First Black Woman Political Writer. Stewart's 1832 speech remains a lesson for us today as we witness the rise of a new generation of women of color in politics. They are Maria Stewart's daughters.
Yeah, I never thought I'd see a black person in the presidency or vice presidency. Mm-hmm. As a kid, never going to happen. Now while I'm alive.
Tupac said it best.
Although we ain't ready for a black president.
Yep, we ain't ready to see a black president. And I kind of just agreed with that. I was like, well, yeah, it'll just never happen.
Yeah, that's why I cried like a little baby when it did happen, because I literally was crying because I never thought I would live to see that day.
Right.
I didn't think it. I'll probably do it again whenever there's a woman president.
Well,
I'll do it again when there's a black woman president.
You still haven't had a descendant of African slaves. So.
Yeah, some people say in black conspiracy circles, It was like they only allowed him to be president because he was half white and the black half wasn't a slave half. That dude was born in Africa.
Well, I remember we were talking about Mancow earlier. Mancow literally said, I think I mentioned this when we talked about that, that the actor who played Martian Manhunter in Snyder Cut, remember he was like the colonel.
Yeah.
He resembles Obama in some ways, they say.
Oh,
and Cooper.
Harry Lennox.
Yeah. Harry Lennox, right. And
but he's way lighter than Obama.
Well, the rumor is that he trained Obama since youth.
He's not that much older than Obama. What are you talking
the
about?
Same damn age. What you mean from youth?
They're maybe about 2 or 3 years apart.
Can look this up.
Let me take
this
pacifier out. So what you're going to say is, now listen.
Goo-goo. mother, what I really like to tell you is, I need some milk.
This is fucking good.
That was very good.
I need milk in the baba.
I need milk. Milk in the baba.
You were a terrible president. I don't know why you're here. Your Obamacare sucks. Go away.
That's Donald, that's an interesting, way of looking at. And that's very interesting coming from you, someone who got fired on the day off.
You are fake news.
But see, all Trump had to say is you're fake news, and he won the debate. It's over.
Well, that's because he's – never mind.
Fox News the next day.
Can I interject
Trump
real quick?
Trump destroys Obama in speech.
Yeah.
Let me interject real quick. This is a long quote, but he's absolutely right. This is required reading, and I want to put it up here. So everybody watching, you need to read this book. I need to read it again because I read it a long time ago. I need to read it again. That – book.
Read the thing. Opening. Read the thing so people know what book you talk about.
All right. Haas, if you want to read how we're still doing it to Central and South America, go read Confessions of an Economic Hitman. That book should be required reading. Swede, you are absolutely fucking right. I need to read that book again. Wow. Wow. There's shit going on. Anyway, read the book.
Read the book. All right.
wait. Linux is younger than Obama.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's even worse.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Mancow said it. Guess what? Mancow said it, so therefore it is true. Mikey, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I shouldn't have picked this one. After the Geary Act of 1892 renewed America's policy of excluding Chinese immigrants based on their race and class, and also required those who were already here to register with the U.S. government or face deportation, Chinese immigrants in the United States participated in an act of mass civil disobedience. Nearly 90,000 Chinese immigrants refused to register by the deadline, grinding U.S. immigration control to a halt. The U.S. simply did not have the money or manpower to deport 90,000 immigrants, so it could not enforce the law. A man named Fong Yuting also challenged the law before the Supreme Court. But although the protests marked a high point in immigrant activism, the court ruled that the U.S. did have the power to deport immigrants even if they were long-term residents in the United States. Following the ruling, most of the protesters relented and registered with the U.S. government, and their fight was forgotten by many.
You don't say.
Like, it's still crazy to me that people my age have no idea what internment camps are. Like, they have
they gloss over it. That's what they do to those types, those things.
They'll talk about Normandy. They'll talk about the Battle of the Bulge, but they never talk about what was happening stateside.
No.
Or it's just like two paragraphs at the end of talking about everything that happened in Europe.
Yeah. And the teacher is always like, and on to the next thing. No discussion about those two paragraphs.
Yeah.
It's just to say that they're in there.
We killed all the Indians. We took all their land. We did slavery. It was bad. And then we interned the Japanese for 4 days. Let's talk about Christopher Columbus and how wonderful he was.
Yes, when he was raping and pillaging when he first landed and claiming.
They talk about both theaters, but they say nothing about what happened in the States except for Rosie the Riveter. And we all came together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, why don't you read the next one?
Well, okay. Well, he skipped one.
Did I
pick one then? I want Mikey to read the last one though. So
all right, I'll read the one starting in 1878.
Yeah, my fault. I thought I scrolled down.
It's all right, dude. It's okay. All right. Shit. In 1878, a black woman named Henrietta Wood won an early and largely unknown case of restitution for slavery. Though born enslaved in Kentucky in 1818 or 1820, Wood had been living as a free woman in Cincinnati in 1853 when she was kidnapped and re-enslaved
in Cincinnati.
By a white Kentuckian named Zebulon Ward. First of all,
Zebulon.
Alien. You're going to love my nuts.
Yo, phaser toast.
Zebulon Ward is a goddamn alien from the planet Viltrum.
Viltrumite.
If you don't get that bat lift out your goddamn back wagon, try to fucking act like you're a human.
I am totally renaming my oldest son Zebulon.
Okay. She ended up living in slavery until after the Civil War. But in 1869, Wood returned to Cincinnati and filed a lawsuit against Ward, the fucking alien, for $20,000 in damages and lost wages. A federal court handed her a verdict for $2,500, bitch asses, an amount worth $60,000 today. It is the largest known sum ever awarded to by a U.S. court in restitution for slavery, and the only sum ever awarded as well, because we know that we always fight reparations.
Elk Park.
And it received widespread press coverage at the time. But as Reconstruction gave way to the Jim Crow era and stories like hers were obscured by lost cause myths, it was forgotten by almost everyone except Wood and her son, who went on to become a lawyer in Chicago. Yet this unsung moment in history deserves to be revisited. It not only shows that formerly enslaved people struggled to win reparations from the very beginning, but also serves as a case study of the differences that restitution could make. Facts, because economy is power. Economy is power.
I'm trying to figure out.
Change people's economics, you change their outcomes. Because guess what? Without that $2,500, her son may not have gone on to become a lawyer in Chicago. So that's why the case for reparations is always being revisited, because we know that economics is power. They know that economics is power, and they know that they don't want to give that power. So that's why there's such a fight against giving up them economics, even though if you read the black tax, you can kind of get an understanding of just how much money was pumped into the American economy for free by slaves. And you can also see how those dots connect up to and including present day black taxes that are paid. Case in point, a young lady had her house appraised, didn't like the appraisal number, so had it reappraised, but took down her pictures, took down her African inspired art, and had one of her white friends sit in like he was the owner of the house. And all of a sudden, the house is worth $125,000 more.
That's happened a few times.
That's happened. Yes.
Yeah.
There's been multiple news reports on that. I just wanted to call that one because that's one of the most recent ones in the last couple of years.
So that she got $2,500, but she.
Wow. Thanks, sweet. Thank you. $58 trillion in stolen labor value in today's dollars in slavery alone. That's not even he's not even including Jim Crow and Reconstruction and things like that.
So she got the $2,500, but she was asking for $20,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then it was $60,000 in
today's dollars. The $2,500.
Yeah. Do you want to know what the $20,000 is in today's money?
About $150,000.
What'd you say, Dutch? What's your guess? for how much the 20,000 would be?
Sorry, I was on mute. 20,000 today, back then. What year was it again?
1878. Oh, in today's money, yeah.
1878, today, $20,000. Carry the one.
Is that more like a million?
Times two. I would say it's about $290,000.
It's both of your answers combined. It's $534,000.
The price is right.
Mm.
Or the price is
money
wrong.
Taken. Money taken. Hello.
All right. So, as usual, more. Okay. So this one, not political. Almost immediately after superheroes rose to prominence in comic books, they were adapted into what were called Saturday film serials that were aimed at children. Serials such as The Shadow in 1940, The Adventures of Captain Marvel in 1941, Batman 1943, The Phantom also that same year, and Captain America and Superman in 1944 were among the first on-screen adaptations of comic book and superhero movies. However, the first was released by Columbia and was based on a comic strip by King Features and was called Mandrake the Magician. It released in 1939 on camera, therefore making it the first ever on-screen appearance of a comic book character.
I'm pretty sure Disney bought it.
Well, accompanied. So here's a little synopsis. Accompanied by his loyal African companion, Lothar.
Who?
Prince.
What's his name?
Lothar. Lothar.
It was a prince?
Yeah. Who is Prince of the Seven Nations.
But he was a companion.
Yeah, Mandrake deployed clever methods of theatrics, deception, and illusion in combating the titans of the underworld while displaying a style that would become his trademark. Mandrake and Lothar start by working the cruise lines and make the acquaintance of Professor Houston, who has developed a radium energy machine, which is much coveted by a masked crime lord known as the Wasp.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
played by the guy who was in 40-something. What's the actor's name who plays the Wasp? From Lost. The girl from Lost is the Wasp. But this different Wasp, the Wasp unleashes his army of accomplices in waves to steal the invention by any means necessary. Mandrake and his allies finally catch up to the Wasp and discover the crime lord is actually a scientist named Dr. Bennett, who is posing as a close friend of Dr. Houston. Sporting a fashionable black top hat, scarlet lined cloak, and trim mustachio, ooh, Mandrake was a master of hypnotism and misdirection with a razor sharp mind and sparkling wit that always made him the smartest guy in the room.
Played by Hugh Laurie from House.
Accompanied Laurie in many missions by his alluring wife, Princess Nardana of Kakagangi, and the aforementioned hulking manservant, Lothar.
Hulking manservant instead of a prince. God damn.
He was a prince of the Seven Nations, but later became
Mandrake. He's just
aspired to become a hulking manservant. However, Lothar does have the distinction of being the one of the first black comic characters in the history of comic books. So, with comics being all the rage these days, a little history on the first one for you. There, what do you think of Lothar's fall from grace from the shores of Wakanda to the
standard operating procedure? Standard. No matter what your station might be elsewhere, compared when you've paired with, the Caucasity, you are instantly, placed in that subservient type of and it's conditioning. That's just conditioning.
You're muted.
Conditioning is key.
Touch is muted.
There's so much stuff that's just conditioned into America. That's why I kept talking. I didn't
I'm talking on mute. But you gotta remember, and this is something that the the MAGA people tell you all the time. Remember, they're lucky to be here. They're lucky to be here.
We'd be living in mud huts if it weren't for the
he was
benevolent, the benevolent enslavers.
Man, well, give me a mud hut tomorrow.
Here's the joke for you. What's the number one promotion that all princes in Africa hoped for? To be the hulking manservant of a magician.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me leave Wakanda so I can be fucking Cap's fucking sidekick.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, people today, I see it all the time. Still today, 2021. Oh, you guys would be living in mud huts if we hadn't taken you. And then you know what I do? I, in response to those comments, post pictures of Ethiopia, Ghana, and other African countries downtown with their skyscrapers and shit. I'm like, I wish I had a mud hut like that, or their mansions in their residential districts. These beautiful homes that are in these countries, and there's a ton of uneducated people that sincerely believe that everyone in Africa lives in prehistoric mud huts and shit like that. Seriously,
or when they sell like shanty towns in South Africa and shit.
Yeah,
that's not all of South Africa.
No, but that's when they show the
kids with bellies full of worms and all that. Mm-hmm. That's from fucking murderous dictators that are propped up by Western countries.
Mm-hmm.
That's why those kids are like that in the first place.
Right.
Get your government under control so they can stop propping up these assholes. And then these kids won't be starving to death because our politics is getting in the way of them having a meal. Yeah, but go to Lagos.
Yeah.
Go to Lagos and see what's up. But it's funny because even in Africa, if you talk about places like Cairo, they don't say mud huts.
Mm-mm.
Because even though it's in Africa, the Mediterranean, they're different.
Egypt is steeped in history.
We don't even want to go down.
Steeped in archaeological depth, beauty, and history.
I'm not going to talk about how the Europeans would be with all the knowledge that they stole from the Africans.
Right.
Thank God the Moors went through and gave all them Sicilians that dark skin that they got.
Oh, the best line in any movie.
the
Moors.
It's the truth.
You can,
it was a joke, but it was the truth. And a lot of people don't know that the Greeks came and sat at the feet of the Egyptians to learn philosophy and to learn sciences and things like that. And then they didn't even stay long enough to get all the knowledge. They were like, okay, 7 years is enough. Let's go.
Don't tell them about Kemet.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to hear about that.
They ain't ready for that.
They don't want to hear about Kemet.
They ain't ready.
Mm-mm. Cole Kemet, the tight end for the Bears.
That's exactly what we're talking about. All right.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Next one, Mikey. I think you'll enjoy that one.
Last one.
On March
1st. It's not the last one, but it's the last one for him.
It's the last one. On March 1st, 1639, John Winthrop opened his diary in which he recovered the trials and triumphs of his fellow Puritans as they made a new life in America. Whatever the fuck that means. As the governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony put pen to paper, he began to recount a most unusual event that had recently caused a stir among the English immigrants. What could it be? Winthrop wrote that earlier in the year, James Everill, a sober, discreet man, and two others had been rowing a boat in the Muddy River, which flowed through swampland and emptied into a tidal basin in the Charles River, when they saw a great light in the night sky.
Oh, shit.
When it stood still, it flamed up.
Yes.
And what? It was about 3 yards square.
It was Mark Hamill.
It was the ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's the ghost of fucking Montgomery Burns.
Glowing with radiation.
I bring you love. I bring you peace.
Oh my.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I need to go watch that episode again. Was that a Treehouse of Horrors or was that its own episode?
Yeah, it was.
I think it was Treehouse of Horrors.
All right, continue.
Oh, that's on Disney Plus. I've been watching all the Treehouse of Horrors. It's been so much fun. When it stood still, it flamed up. It was about 3 yards square, the governor reported.
Crazy case of syphilis I'd ever seen.
You're doing it again. You're killing.
He burned down the fucking tree with his dick.
He had a flamethrower crotch if I had ever seen one.
This is why they made sure to say that he was of sober mind. But
all right.
Sorry.
When it ran, it was contracted to the figure of a swine.
Goddamn syphilis.
Yeah, that sounds just like so you contracting shit. That's definitely syphilis. Over the course of 2 to 3 hours, the boatman said that the mysterious light ran as swift as an arrow, darting back and forth between them and the village of Charleston, a distance of approximately 2 miles. Diverse other credible persons saw the same light after about the same place with her batted. The governor wrote that when the strange apparition finally faded away, the three Puritans in the boat were stunned to find themselves 1 mile upstream, as if the light had transported
them. No, you drifted, there. Stupid. Anyway.
The men had no memory of their rowing against the tide, although it's possible they could have been carried by the wind or a reverse tidal flow. The mysterious repositioning of the boat could suggest that they were unaware of part of their experience.
Primal fear, they lost the time.
Some researchers would interpret this as possible alien abduction if it happened today.
Oh, shit.
I'm not saying aliens, but...
It was the aliens. Well, that or Zebulon.
What year was this? Was this Zebulon?
It said in the beginning. It was 1630 or something. It's the first ever documented case of UFO sighting that's from the Western world.
Zebulon.
1639. Where's Zebulon at?
18 something. But that don't matter to Zebulon.
That doesn't matter. That's 2 weeks. He's Zebulon. 2 years. 100 years is 2 weeks.
He's a transcendent being. He's there always. It's a
been here.
It's a cubed universe, and he's everywhere at the same time.
I'm going to go on Facebook right now. I bet you it's somebody named Zebulon on that bitch.
Right.
It's probably him.
It's definitely him. And he probably got that old ass printer too.
He lives in perpetual life. So Gregorio from Ancient Aliens, I'm sure is very aware of that story. All righty.
There's a lot of Zebulons on here.
I'm going to, let's discuss that for a moment. I want to discuss that for a quick sec. Mm-hmm. That's the first ever, like I said, reported story of an alien.
It's a snowboard
or a UFO. Do you guys, how much stock do you guys put in this stuff? Because there's reports now that UFOs are supposed to be like that. There's something going on with the government right now where I forget what it exactly
they're preparing
is.
They're desensitizing us so that they can introduce the fucking alien like on a Dave Chappelle skit.
No, but the government has something going on where they right now where I forgot what it was, but it's the Biden administration is involved in it where they're like supposed to be like releasing like some body of evidence on not of UFOs, but like of all the research that they've done on it. Do you guys think that any of those are actually real, like throughout history every one of them is a natural phenomenon?
So let's play a game here, Dutch. Let's play a game here. And we're going to put on everybody. Get your, my
head. Get them.
I can tell Mikey's had this conversation before. Go ahead.
Well, get him.
Yes, I have. Now let's play the as much as we love like our space documentaries and stuff like that. We have some baseline knowledge of how things interact in space, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say there was a spaceship or a vessel or some craft that they got to us in.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be powered by something.
Right.
And it has to start from wherever it left, and it has to go, and then it has to slow down.
Right.
How are you going to do that without us feeling it, seeing it, hearing it, something? Because whether or not they use, like, they'd have to, it, if aliens came to Earth, it would literally have to be magic, because physics won't allow you to bring something into low Earth orbit without us seeing it. Because if you can watch, like the SpaceX launches are always on, you can see, even in our atmosphere, it disrupts everything around it. Everything mm-hmm. around it is disrupted. So even in space, even though it's not visible light, the infrared, we can see all of that. All of that exhaust, we would see all of that. So the fact that we don't see vapor trails going all throughout the fucking...
all vapor throughout trails! Alex Jones here!
Yes, sir.
It's the chemtrails. Right. They're killing us all.
So yeah. here's the fundamental flaw.
Tell us his story about when he saw one at band camp.
No. Here's the fundamental flaw. Okay?
With me or them?
With what you're saying right now.
Okay.
You're basing that on our understanding of physics right now. Mm-hmm. If there are alien species
mm-hmm.
capable of traveling to our planet
mm-hmm.
from billions of miles away,
mm-hmm.
they might have a better understanding of the physics. They might have a different understanding of propulsion. They might have a different understanding of the way to power things that we don't even have the machinery to measure. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think of it like this. We are one planet. Hold on. Mm-hmm. We are one planet in one galaxy
mm-hmm.
of millions of galaxies. Billions. It is entirely billions of galaxies. You're right. It is entirely the penultimate example of narcissism and arrogance to feel like we are the only ones here.
I believe it's the opposite. And it's almost like a self-deprecating, like humans are so stupid kind of thing. Physics is physics is physics is physics.
As we understand it here on Earth.
No. The physics that Isaac Newton knew then is still true today.
Here on Earth.
It doesn't matter here on Earth because planets still move like planets, right? And they're older than the aliens, right? So there are rules and there are all laws that we have recognized and that we have recognized as things. Like we know that if I throw a tennis ball in space, it's going to go until something stops it. Like that's a rule, right? Unless something else acts upon it, right?
As far as we know.
Cool. So let's say you're 100% right and they're just that good.
Mm-hmm.
How far out from us could they be to even know we were here?
We don't know because we don't have any understanding of their technology.
We do know the speed of light, Haas, and we've only had electronic communications with radio and shit like that, which is a form of light. It's weird. That's only been going for 70 years.
Okay.
So that means they have to be
since Mandrake, the magician.
So that means that we have, so we can put a bubble around us of 70 years of our noise that we're making in our galaxy, right?
But real quick though, right now, can you imagine? That's the first show they get is Mandrake the Magician. They're gonna be why they take that prince and make right. him the assistant?
Why they take that regal prince and do that?
Oh, they're just sitting back there eating popcorn, like, yo, they doing a Lothgar dirty.
But as you, I don't believe that there has been any alien visits to this Earth.
Wait, before you go, I was almost done.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So there's a 70 light year bubble around us of all the noise of all the electronic communications we've ever put out. The first 50 years are pretty unintelligible until we sent out, or no, not 50, maybe like 20, 30. And then like maybe after 30, they'll get like, I Love Lucy. And you know what I'm saying? They're getting like old TV shows and all that stuff. That's going to take them another 20, 30 years after that, just for it to get to them, for them to even know that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Our galaxy is hundreds of millions of light years across. And we're talking about a 70 light year bubble. I'm not saying they're not there.
Well, it's a little bit bigger than 70, but yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. But they wouldn't even know that. I mean, because we look like every other rock. They don't know. They unless they see or hear something from us, they have no way of knowing what kind of life is here. So.
Well, that's not necessarily accurate. We can tell what other planets have the potential based on, you know, their reflection.
The atmosphere.
And the atmosphere. We can kind of see what's in the atmosphere there. So we can kind of tell what Earth-like they. At least they think that they can tell what Earth-like planets are.
But there's hundreds of those, so we're just one in hundreds then, or thousands then.
Sure.
But they also have to be close enough to even be, you know what I'm saying? They'd have to be close enough to us to observe us to know that that was the case, to see that we have a nitrogen-oxygen mixed atmosphere. For them to, they have to be a certain distance to even know that kind of stuff. That's still pretty far out. And even still, what they're seeing... If they're 100 million light years away, it has taken 100 million years for that light to get to them. So they're going to come here looking for pristine rivers and fucking, you know what I'm saying? They wouldn't even know that we were here because they're so far away.
They'll still think all the Native Americans have all this great land they can come steal.
This is before people. This is before life. This is just Earth.
Right.
So if they came, we would see it. You can't be that large of a body in space and not make some waves or leave some sort of trace for us to notice that you were there.
I'm not going to push back on that because that's probably, although I think that you could come up with technology that would mask the effects on our atmosphere or counteract them in a way with a little bit of ingenuity. When a spaceship, when any matter, the way that I understand it, and I'm not an astronomy guy, but the way I understand it is the closer that you get to the speed of light, that basically time obviously starts slowing down, but the once you hit it, something happens, and I forget what it is, but it's pretty cataclysmic. I think it stops.
You can't.
So that means that you can probably only, in theory, unless you are able to bend space somehow and fold it over each other, like with a wormhole.
But you understand that that's super theoretical. It's possible theoretically.
Sure, I'm saying it's theoretically.
But the energy to take it is more than all the stars in all of the universe.
Well, that's why I'm getting to my point. Or that's what I'm talking about with my point here. So like if they were coming here, you know, they can only travel it. I would say somewhere around 3/4 of the speed of light would probably be about the maximum that they'd be able to travel at.
That is so much energy to do that. To move a grain of sand that fast is insane. The numbers are insane.
Well, no one's saying we're going to use Chevron fuel to do it. You know what I mean? But
you can use gravity.
We have the technology right now to be able to theorize that we can probably move in the next 100 years or so. At about 30% of the speed of light. So, no. Yeah, pretty sure. You'll have to look that up. But the Japanese scientist guy said this. So, but the point is this, that an alien civilization would have to be infinitely older than us, you know, at least I would say 10,000 years older than whatever we have going on here on Earth. So you're cutting a lot of the potential planets out of the equation just from the beginning right there. So like one out of every 10,000 would be about that much older than us. So, you know, you're looking at a very narrow band of potential candidates for aliens that could come here. Now it is possible, I suppose, that somebody could have come a couple hundred years ago. Before, not have been noticed by modern technology and radar and stuff like that, and have been basically just here. But, you know, maybe if they came from like Alpha Centauri or somewhere that's reasonably close, I don't think it's impossible. I just find it to be very unlikely because, and this is the thing that I think is probably the most salient, is every single alien that has been talked about has two arms and two legs or and a head or somehow resembles humans. And there is no reason to think that life on another planet would look like our life here in any way, shape, or form. They might have some tiny resemblance to us, but for them to walk upright and have a mouth and a downward facing nose, you know, and breathing oxygen, to me is like, I don't know what they would look like. We create these images in our head. It's like when people die, you know, Christians see Jesus and Muslims see, Muhammad. So it's, you know, Indians see Krishna when they die. So it's people create their own realities when it comes to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Their mental delusions and stuff like that and the crazy shit that happens to people. So I don't put very much stock in it at all. I think the odds that we have had alien visitors, I don't think it's zero. And I feel this way about like God too, right? Like it's not zero. So that I have the door open, but it's kind of for the aliens, to me, it seems kind of low. And also you have to look at like, why are they here? Are they benevolent? What are they here to do? Why aren't they hanging around? Why don't they just rule us? That sort of stuff too. So,
well, I feel like this because,
oh, the prime directive. I forgot. Never mind. They follow the prime directive. I totally forgot.
No, I feel like this. And I believe in aliens. I believe that there are aliens. I believe they've been here. I believe they've come by here and said, oh, that planet is too primitive to make contact. So let's just keep going. I feel like this. If there was a malevolent alien race that came by this planet, they'll be like, okay, we can either A, take over this planet for ourselves, B, take these fucking primitive people and make them our slaves, or C, they are so primitive that they're not even useful as slaves on our planet. So, fuck it.
Real quick, stop Let's right there. Going. Thank God the British didn't have that technology.
Right.
Colonizing the whole galaxy.
It is manifest destiny that we conquer space.
But
they get vaporized on planet E12.
But I feel like you're working on the space god.
But I feel like you're kind of taking like American history and extrapolating that out onto space. And I don't know that that's like oh, you can't imagine what kind of technology you have. It's like, and to say that they would be exactly like the British is kind of like the same. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like
that's, and we're that's, going that's, from our lens. All of this is from our lens.
I mean, that's a. I mean, all of this, all the things that are possible. But I'm a very evidence and fact based guy. If bodies move in space, we see things. Things move. Things happen. Things light up. Things get dark. Things get hot. Things get cold. You can measure all of these things, and you can see all of these things coming.
Don't tell that to my kids. Cause I scare the fuck out of them all the time. But let them say it. I just appear right there. Bang. Hey, what you doing?
Where you at?
Well, we only see things that affect matter. Like we can't see dark energy if it's even energy. We can't see dark matter if it's even matter. We can only see things that reflect light. So like there could be an asteroid headed for us right now that's just coming from the dark side of the sun and we don't see it yet. So that's entirely
Dutch, you
wanna,
possible. Dutch, you want to walk that back?
Walk what back?
The dark side of the sun?
No, because I don't care about your like technical analysis coming from behind the sun. There is a blind spot right now. We can't see what's behind the sun.
It's back. Facing the sun, not behind the sun. The sun's
I'm saying there could be a meteor coming that right now, wherever the sun is at right now, the meteor is behind it. It's the sun's not going to be there anymore once it moves. So we wouldn't be able to see it until, you know, possibly right afterwards. And if it's not reflecting light, we can't see it. Right. We know they talk about all the time that there could be an NEO that we don't know about. Even the mapping program.
That's a near Earth object for those.
Right. A near Earth object. We know that we haven't mapped all of them, and all of them reflect light because they're all made of matter. So every single one of those reflects light. In theory, by your theory, we should be able to see all of them now with the technology that we have. So, but we obviously can't. Otherwise, we would have mapped it all.
That's not, well, there are reasons why we can't map that, because when you have something that is the size of, I don't know, an 18 wheeler, and it's coming towards Earth, but the sun is directly behind it, it's hard to see it when it's being completely washed out by the sun. Now, even if you get like a 99% filter, which will filter out 99% of light, which is like those like cool like 3D glasses looking things that people bought for the eclipse, that blocks out 99% of the light. In that 1% could be the asteroid. But you can't not filter it, or else it's just blindingly white and you can't see it anyway. So that's the issue. It's because they're so small and that you have to use some sort of filter. And the things are so small that they can get caught in the filter of the light so that you can even recognize the object that you're observing.
Let me yell at Tim real quick. Yes, the sun does move. It doesn't move in the neighborhood of our solar system. I was talking about how it moves throughout the sky. So fuck you, Tim Bristol. But the sun absolutely moves because we're in a galaxy that spins fucking around. So yes, the sun fucking moves.
The sun wiggles.
Yeah, it wobbles too because of the gravity of the other planets. Exactly correct.
Hey, big girl, back it up.
Tell us about your abduction experience. I want to hear about it.
Me? You know something? I don't think I've ever been abducted, but I've seen some shit.
I think most of the shit
I've seen is in the spiritual realm, not necessarily alien. You know?
Was she beautiful?
Nah, I did meet a girl, man. Ooh, I don't know if I can tell that story here, boy.
She had a third nipple?
No, man. She has some extraplanetary skills.
Intergalactic.
Jenna says she has a wobble.
Oh, shit.
Wobble, baby. Wobble, baby. Wobble, baby. Wobble, baby. Okay.
Don't make me get built. No,
let's continue to talk about this before we go to the last one, because the last one's not fun.
So I want everyone to steep all of their skepticism is great. It's healthy. It's good.
Yes.
But we also there has to be some sort of metric, some sort of rule system that we play by. Because if the answer is because magic, then I guess we can't really have a conversation.
Magic is just the ununderstood. Magic is what we say for what we don't understand.
Right. So that can't be your justification for why something happens or why we haven't observed something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't say, well, I didn't pay the bills because a leprechaun took all my money. Like, that's not a good answer for it. Like, we can't use that in the absence of evidence.
Yes. But the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
Don't you try that with me.
Yes. But you know what?
Mike, they're doing it again.
They're doing it again in the chat. So, like, they're saying, oh, but the Earth does not circle the sun. It travels along with it. We spiral through the universe. Okay, listen. If I say that the sun moves east to west, right? We know, I feel like the chat would say, oh, but the sun doesn't really move east to west. It's an optical illusion of your eyes.
Don't matter, okay, man. Let's just keep talking.
We're talking about from this perspective. So enough. Anyway.
So why don't you say from our perspective? So then you don't have to deal with this.
Because generally people understand what you're talking about. Unless you're somebody whose goal in life is to try to catch someone and trip them up and say,
or you could say what you actually mean, not say something and assume that everybody gets what you're saying.
What I mean is the sun moves from east to west. That's what I meant. That's what I said. Now,
we're all moving, including the sun.
Haas, the alien that abducted you.
Yes.
Did she have a third nipple? That's all I want to know.
I suck three. That's all I know. Tasted like cinnamon and lavender.
There could have been more than did she glow?
I come for peace.
In certain lights at the end, she was glowing.
Was her name Nebula?
Nebulaquisha.
Perfect. So she was an African alien.
Mother Eve, baby.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clarify all of this.
So,
all right.
There you go. So let me throw a little something in the mix. How do you feel, Dutch and Haas, about the theory of panspermia?
Hold on, what now? Say that again. Panspermia?
You have to tell me what the theory is because I don't know
what is that
name.
What is that theory? Okay, please enlighten me.
Panspermia is pretty much when, let's say there's life on one planet, mm-hmm. and then something cataclysmic happens, mm-hmm. it gets broken up, and then pieces of the planet that had life on it land on another planet. Thus,
yeah. Like Earth rock that's on Mars. Gotcha. Okay.
Seeding life onto the new planet.
Yeah.
We had to make sure that we didn't do that with the Mars rover that's up there right now. So
yeah, all that stuff is under quarantine for a long time and it's all sprayed down and yeah, it's crazy what they do.
Yeah, the company that I work for, I'm in logistics, we did the rigging and hauling across the country from California to the East Coast on the first Mars rover back in the 80s. So they were talking about some of the, like all of the measures that they had to go through to make sure that, like, we vacuum seal stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But this thing had to be like, and we're talking about back in the 80s, excuse me, this thing had to be like just super, like the lengths they had to go to keep this Mars rover free of any foreign substances in it whatsoever. Because even then they knew that, hey, we want to find life on Mars. We think we might find life on Mars. But we want to make sure it's not Joe down the street who chucked a loogie onto the rover, you know, while he's chewing his tobacco. And now he starts.
Mikey sneezed.
Yeah. He starts a new colony of hybrid ants on Mars that wipes out the, like what we saw on Invincible, right? They went to Mars, but thank goodness they were, their minds were more powerful.
Because that's an actual theory about how an answer to the abiogenesis question of, well, how did we get life on Earth? Did it just come out of some pool? Well, we have a lot.
Yeah, but panspermia doesn't solve that question for me. I didn't know that that was what it was called, but that doesn't answer that question for me because it still starts somewhere else. So where it starts.
Okay. Then
all you're doing is pushing the question.
That's a separate question. But if the life came from Mars, I think that changes things for us as Earthlings, don't you think?
That's entirely plausible.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens to Earthlings when we find some extremophile bacteria on Mars? Like, what does that do for us as humans on Earth to know that there is life outside of this rock?
Here's what happens first.
I like it.
Is that the U.S. government tries to figure out how to weaponize it?
Yeah, that and the
Am I wrong?
The evangelicals say it's fake.
Oh yeah, they'll say it's fake, or they'll say
right.
That was
so
God's
after
first
those
try.
After those two things happen, I'm perfectly fine with it. In fact, I think the odds that there's not life elsewhere is the smallest number you can come up with. That's a non-zero number.
Two. The odds that there's not life. So that you believe.
No, I was thinking like six, but yeah.
So you believe that there is life elsewhere, but they can't get here.
I believe there's life elsewhere. I'm just not convinced that it's, that it has the cognitive abilities of humans. There's no evidence to say it does or doesn't. I'm sure it's entirely possible.
Haas, do you think that there's life on other planets in our solar system?
Planets, no. Moons, yes.
I just said in our solar system.
I think
I believe,
depending upon where they are in their development, there is a small possibility for life on other planets in our solar system. Because I feel like this simply because I believe in the unknown. I believe that there's definitely possibility that there are things that we don't know. And there's things that we don't know we don't know. Understand? So I believe that there's a possibility that there is technology out there that supersedes everything we have now. I believe that there might be intelligence out there that there's a possibility for that supersedes what we know now. That is maybe thousands of years past where we are in development, okay? But I do reserve the notion that there's life elsewhere. Now, I believe that there's life in this solar system, in our solar system, then it's behind us in development. Okay.
Are you talking about the solar system?
You said in our solar system.
Okay, that's what I was making sure you're still answering that.
So if there's life in our solar system, I believe it's behind us in development. I believe that in the sextillion, I like that. Let me say that again. In the sextillion galaxies that are out there, according to Swede.
How many zeros are in sextillion?
I don't 22? Know. I'm stuck on the first part of that word. But anyway, I believe that there could be life out there that is beyond us in development. I believe that we're on a continuum and that Earth is somewhere on a continuum. And there might be there's development past us and there's development behind us. You know what I'm saying?
10 to the 22nd.
Okay.
The 23rd. 10 to the 23rd. Saz, have you ever heard of a tardigrade?
A what?
A tardigrade.
A tardigrade.
I know what that is.
Do you fry it or do you broil it?
You could, but you'd have to eat a lot of them to taste
Remember in Ant-Man and the first Ant-Man movie where he went down to super small?
Yeah, he went to sub-molecular.
The tardigrades were the little tiny animals, microscopic animals with the sharp mouth that looked like that were trying to eat him. Were tardigrades. They're extremophiles that have literally gone into space.
Hold on. Don't kill the whole. I pulled it up. Hold on, you. All right. So this is from Wikipedia. So take it with a grain of salt. Tardigrades are thought to be able to survive even complete global mass extinction events due to astrophysical events such as gamma ray bursts or large meteorite impacts. Some of them can withstand extreme cold temperatures down to 1 Kelvin.
So they're almost as robust as Trump's political popularity on the right wing.
That is -458 degrees.
That's cold.
Wait. -458. Isn't absolute zero -270 something?
How many Kelvin is absolute zero, Dutch?
Zero.
So this is 1 Kelvin. Just barely above absolute zero.
So am I wrong then? Is absolute zero not -270 something?
Well, that's
why. Or am I thinking Celsius?
-272 Celsius, close to absolute zero. Yeah, it's almost absolute zero. Yeah, but 1 Kelvin, like Kelvin goes from absolute zero to
zero.
Yeah. While others can withstand extremely hot temperatures up to 420 Kelvin, which is 300 degrees Fahrenheit, for several minutes. Pressures about 6 times greater than those found in the deepest ocean trenches, ionizing radiation at doses hundreds of times higher than a lethal dose for a human, and the vacuum of outer space. Tardigrades live in harsh conditions, undergo an annual process of cyclomorphosis. Allowing
what is that? Come on now.
They sound like Viltrumite cells.
I gotta be able to use that word. Yeah. I gotta be able to use that word in a sentence. What is cyclomorphosis?
Let me finish the sentence and I'll click on that.
That's what the cicadas do.
Allowing for survival in sub-zero temperatures. Cyclomorphosis is the name given to the occurrence of cyclic or seasonal changes in phenotype of an organism through successive generations. Okay. It's like super deep hibernations for years.
Yeah, like cicadas.
It occurs in small aquatic invertebrates.
My 15-year-old's doing that for the last couple of years now.
That reproduce by parthenogenesis.
Stop mispronouncing things. That's my thing. Stop.
What is parthenogenesis?
Sorry, I didn't mispronounce John like someone else did. I mispronounced parthenogenesis and give rise to several generations annually. It occurs especially in marine plankton animals and is thought to be caused by the epigenetic effect of environmental cues on the organism, thereby altering the course of development. So they can pretty much change their phenotype based on what's happening around them. So if it gets really, really hot, they go into really, really hot mode, and all of them do it, and their body changes and morphs into a way that keeps the species going. And same
thing. Oh, these are like super roaches.
Yes. And they're half of a millimeter long.
They're Viltrumite roaches.
And or shrimp, because I think they live in water. So,
but they're just like any other man. So to see, they change. They're just like any man. They change and become fake depending on what woman's around.
Women do that shit too. Trust me.
Not me.
No, not you, of course, Mikey. We're referring to the men on the show.
Not me. They gonna have to. They gonna have to take it as is when it comes to me.
Isn't it funny that we talked about like 7 topics? We have 1 left. And the one that's caused the most hubbub is the first ever UFO sighting by the Puritans, nonetheless. The Puritans, right. Nonetheless.
I'm surprised they didn't worship it.
All right. So I'm going to move on to the very last one here. Let me find, because for this one, I have a photograph that I want to pull up and show you guys while I read this
photograph. One. Make sure you click the right
every
one.
Every time I do it, right makes me you use that that joke every time, though.
Yeah, so, make sure you open the right tab, bro.
I'm trying to tell you. Want to be seeing what you're sending, what you're preparing to send your wife while you're out of town.
Is it? Why is it blinking like that?
I don't know.
What you're doing.
Right. Hey, if you are photo sensitive, please turn off your monitor right now.
Yeah.
Do not have a seizure on our watch.
You're probably going to give the audio listeners a seizure with that.
Let's try that again. Okay. So here's what I'm going to read. So what I have up on the screen for those listening on the audio is a photograph. Look at this photograph.
That's my joke.
It's of a little boy and a little girl. The boy is black and the little girl is
black.
Caucasoid. So
are you sure?
At that's part of the story, Haas.
Okay.
So there's a picture of a white girl.
It is New Orleans.
Now, on January 30th, 1864, Harper's Weekly printed a large engraving of a group of recently emancipated children and adults. The caption described them as emancipated slaves, white and colored. Mm-hmm. The images were based on widely circulated abolitionist photographs of emancipated children from New Orleans, including some who are white passing. Readers of Harper's were presumably convinced of slavery's moral evils, but this didn't mean that they still didn't hold racial biases against African Americans that made them uncritically accept the logics of racism. The truly pressing fear for this image was meant to capitalize on that if we can't read race by just looking, mm-hmm. and people considered legally black could pass for white, mm-hmm. then what was to stop the same system of legal slavery from mistaking free white citizens for the enslaved? Mm-hmm. This story underlines the impossibility of a system of slavery based on race, but images and articles like this are underknown and under-discussed. One reason may be that historians and the general public are wary of bringing in historical examples of the, quote, white slavery, unquote, narrative, because they're fearful it will get folded into the onslaught of contemporary false material about white slavery that circulates in extremist groups to minimize the historic grievances of African Americans. Another is likely some discomfort around the idea that Northern abolitionists could be both vehemently anti-slavery, but still bigoted.
100%.
We often narrate history as if there is definitive lines drawn between good and evil. But actually, historical events are animated by the actions of individuals who are always much more contradictory in their viewpoints and in their politics.
Facts. So, I mean, we for a long time, there's discussion about lots of people that were in the public eye that passed for white and purposely minimized as much as they could their black ancestry. Like one Mariah Carey, for instance, for a long time, you didn't know. And then she finally, it finally came about that.
Where was it? Was that? I was little. So was that?
Yes, it was a long time ago. Oh, passing for white?
I always thought she was mixed.
Dorothy Dandridge did it for
Dandridge did it for a while, for a long time. There's plenty of people who there's been movies made about people who left their families behind to go off to another state and start over basically as a white person at the age of 16, 18 years old.
Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, well, come on.
Sean King.
Now, Sean King is biracial, though.
Is he?
He's never talked about, he's never denied his biracial lineage. And he even showed a picture of him and his half-brother, because his half-brother is like 100% white. And he showed pictures of himself as a young man, and you could tell, this dude black. You ain't that young trying to be black. When why would you try to be black?
Yo, people do things.
I'm just saying. But
you've seen Malibu's Most Wanted, right?
Well, that's an obvious white dude trying to be black.
Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
Well, real quick side point. How the fuck did Jamie Kennedy, how on earth did Jamie Kennedy pull the girl from the Ghost Whisperer?
I don't even know who that is.
I'll think of it in a second. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
He's
how
funny.
On earth?
He is funny.
Wins
dude,
every
funny
time.
Drops panties, dude.
Funny drops panties. He ain't that funny.
I'm telling you, to he's her, not funny. He not, is that he's, funny.
He's not funny in what's it called? He's not funny in movies. But he'd probably be cracking her ass right the fuck up.
Right up. Cracking her up and cracking her out of them drawers. Hey, I am not a handsome man.
No, we know.
But I have wit. I can hold an intelligent conversation. I try my best to smell good 99.9% of the time. And as you can see, I dress well.
Just because you are a character, my dear, doesn't mean you have a character.
That means you have one. Right.
Thank you, Winston Wolf.
But I'm telling you.
You are fake news.
For women, it's more mental. You got to understand that. And then we don't know her past. We don't know how many hot dudes fucked her over. You know what I'm saying?
We also don't know. Fuck over Jennifer Love Hewitt. I would love her forever.
Guess what? Hey, you show me a fine woman, I'll show you a man tired of her shit. Okay?
Well, unless they're crazy like Halle Berry or...
We don't know she's crazy. We don't know her personally.
We have good evidence.
We don't
evidence.
Know she's crazy. We have a pretty have good idea evidence. That she's
Eric
crazy.
Eric Benet said she was fucking crazy.
You know? And we don't know that J-Lo is crazy, but we do know she's got more rings than fucking Jordan.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
She's back with Ben Affleck now.
Oh, I mean, she sprinted back.
Yeah, I feel like I'm back in the 90s.
Right? Bennifer is back. But all I'm saying is this. When it comes to the ladies.
Now back to Mario Lopez for this
report. A lot of times it's more mental than a physical thing. It's the mental that grabs them. You get a hold of a woman's mind, you got a keys to her soul, dude.
All right, back to actually the white passing. Frustrated Atheist says Davis Knight was thrown in jail for marrying a white woman because he was a direct descendant of Newt Knight and Rachel Knight, a former slave. He looked white but has a small percentage of black.
One drop.
You know, then you had the
one drop, baby.
The Supreme Court case on interracial marriage, which was aptly named Loving versus U.S. government, I believe. You know, with a white man and a black woman. But the the thing, like, I keep seeing these not, they're not really tropes. They're just, they go so far to try to say that white people were slaves. Like they go to the most incredible reaches to try to do this. And this is kind of what that article just talked about. Mm-hmm. And again, credit to Time for Fake News Time magazine for that. It's just like, look, if something was true, we would tell you it was true. We would just say, hey, you know what? But there's not one case of a white person who is a slave in the United States in the same way that there was indentured servants, but that's a very, 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 very different thing. It's a terrible thing, but it's different because it wasn't generational is really the main thing. And there was a term limit, you know, and there are people that will say, well, prison is slavery. You're not totally wrong, but it's just,
it's not chattel slavery.
Right.
It's not chattel slavery. Slavery in America, unprecedented. Well, slavery in the Americas, because South America and Central America was just as bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, slavery was pretty awful, and the Arab slave trade was pretty fucking horrendous also. But, you know, but slavery just in general is bad. But the American slavery has this unique effort to either minimize it or ignore it. And I think it's unique in that regard that there is there's like 40 different narratives that you can that you'll hear about either why it wasn't so bad, or there were good slave owners, or, you know, this sort of thing. That's not to say that
good slave owners is like good cops who don't say anything when the bad cops is kicking ass.
Yeah. I mean, there were slave owners who I'm sure were decent to their slaves, and there are slave owners who were better than others, but they still owned other people.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make you the worst person that was ever born? Maybe not, but it certainly doesn't qualify you for the Nobel Prize. You know, like so just let's call it what it is. Hey, dude did this thing. He did something that was fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that he didn't do six other good things, but you can't talk about that in an honest way without talking about the negative thing. Why do we continue to do this? I don't understand it. Right? Like they'll say, like, I don't think George Washington should be ripped from Mount Rushmore. I think George Washington did dozens of amazing things. He also did not so amazing things. So pointing that out does not make me hate him, hate America. So these pictures and stuff like that are I just don't understand the motivation between continuing to bring this up over and over and over again. It perplexes me. Just say, hey, it was what it was. This is the reasons why it was bad. These are the repercussions it has today. This person did this, and we should hold them accountable for it. Done.
But I think that slavery only comes up in African American social circles, really, when we talk about reparations. When we talk about systemic racism and things like that, we're talking about what's happening today. You know, we're talking about what's happening contemporarily. You know, when we talk about America and reparations, or America and simply acknowledging its original sin and not writing it as books, as slaves, as travelers who happily worked, and shit like that in school books. That we're talking about accountability on those two. Tell the history correctly, and you have to address reparations for descendants of slaves. You know, you've done it for every other marginalized group you've oppressed. You've done it for groups that you liberated from oppression. But when it comes to the people whose blood soaked this land and built your near monopoly and your economic base for hundreds of years, that allowed people, both Southerners and Northerners, to become extremely rich, there is always, oh, we need to study it. Oh, we need to research it. Oh, how are we going to do it? You figured out how to do it before? For many, many groups. What's the problem? Why is this such an issue to figure it out? And it's because the system still states, guess what? They don't deserve shit because of this. And that's the problem. Until this country recognizes that it was built on the backs of black people, the very same black people that they demonize today, and do something to reverse that and say, you know what? We figured it out before. Let's figure it out now, because we are who we are.
They're not going to, though, power. because but you just mentioned the key word is economic power. That's why it's not going to happen, because, you know, the $10 trillion that it would cost, they're not going to pay that. They bitched about $900 billion in a COVID stimulus package. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people complaining about, you know, a minimum wage increase, which is a different topic. I have my own thoughts on it, but we're still only talking about, and I believe I'm right, but we're still only talking about what, $7 an hour, more than what federal minimum wage is right now. That's and it's a small dollar amount. Personally, I think it should be 25, but nonetheless, the economics are too, actually, we have a comment on that right there, from Iris Swede, that says, the problem today is the amount of money is way different. And that's kind of what I'm saying, is that they're not, the smallest dollar amounts get argued over, mm-hmm. you know, and then it'll come down to the conversation that they'll say next. I already know what they're going to say, because I've heard these conversations 100 times. Oh, well, how much should we give to each person? What are they going to do? Just not work the rest of their lives?
So,
you know, and it's like, but that's the, when you build that as your mentality of worth, is how hard you work, even though the people that work the least hard get the most money in this country, which
right,
is
I was just going to say, how many people that were descendants of slave owners don't work today because of that money that their slave owning generations before them?
It doesn't matter. I'm broke. I don't think I'm broke. I don't think I'm making it. I'm broke, but I'm better than Dutch. I'm better than Haas. And I'll be damned if they get up higher than me and I'm not broke. No, right. You're if you're listening to this, you're broke. you're not any part of the people who should be paying part of this money. Because there's right. big corporations
who
made a lot of money and they got a lot of capital.
Uh-huh.
So we don't need
and we're not even going to talk about how
we don't need it all up front.
I think that this might be part of the reason that the U.S. paid reparations to the Jewish people, is because Ford was sending equipment over, and Standard Oil. If it weren't for Standard Oil, the German planes wouldn't have flown. But Standard Oil gave them the additive that let their planes fly to put in the fuel. You know, and you think about the banks playing to both sides too. So that, you know, it's always about money. You know, it's always about money to those people who have money and don't want to part with that little extra. That's why there's a problem with the minimum wage. Because guess what? If the top executives of every big corporation took 5% less in salary.
Done. It's paid for double.
It's done.
Mikey, what you got for us?
So I'm here to ask for all your money, all of it. If you want to support this small business so that we can finally start getting $15 an hour, because Dutch has been withholding all the funds because he is a Amazon-like miser. He's the Jeff Bezos. He's the Jeff Bezos of podcasting.
I am Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, he dives into a big pile of money. No,
it's about $8.
mostly hits the ground. There's not a lot of coins to catch his fall. But thank you to all of our current patrons, and your names are this: Tons of Mice, thank you, Jenemiu, Blake, Bill, the Herfcast, Paul. And that is it right now. So if you guys want to help support the show and keep this independent little engine that could a-rollin', go to patreon.com/digonamericapodcast and give us your pledges. And once we hit that $100 pledge, we're going to take a third of that and donate it to a list of charities that we have already pre-selected. But we're just waiting to hit that goal. So it's really up to y'all whether or not we can do this.
We actually got my brother-in-law Patreoned us without Patreoning us. He sent us, he said,
he gave you the money.
Yeah, he said he's going to sign up for $5 a month, but he sent it all in one payment and then canceled his Patreon. So technically, because he didn't want to do it.
Thank you, bro-in-law. So, I appreciate you.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is with the monthly, but we got all the money. It's in the bank account, and it's going to go towards the graphic design. So
nice. Which is in our background, yeah. By the way.
So that was 50 or 60 bucks right there. Beautiful. So thank you.
So thank you guys for supporting us and free ways to support the show. Make sure you check out the audio version for sure. Download, stream, share with your friends, and subscribe. And also make sure you guys leave us a profanity free, awesome rating on iTunes. That really helps us get in front of other podcasts, so we're more easily seen, and it gets us in front of new eyes. And maybe they'll give money and you won't have to.
All right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Love you guys. Later.
Yep.
Big on America.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Proof the deep state is real in America.
The media said what? Ha, ha, ha.
Patently false. Fake news.
Your organization's terrible.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Want to have a rousing discussion about truth, honor, patriotism?
The end of the Republic has never looked better.
They be fighting the power, talking about social issues, politics, you know what I'm saying?
Three punches.
I enjoy Big Hoss.
And I've smoking my cigar, of course.
Am I allowed to talk?
No, not right now.
You crazy Dutch bastard!
Mikey, you're getting a bit upset here.
Mikey, you can edit.
My favorite podcast.
Kick names, take ass.
There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Get in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble.
Now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
Big on America.
You've heard others, but nothing could prepare you for the shameful stupidity that is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Hear Imran.
So if you offend everyone at once, it's a wash. I've covered everybody.
Anthony.
Sorry, I was texting. Say that again.
And Rug Boy.
Yeah, whenever there's a snowstorm, my slack hole tightens up.
As they talk over one another.
Just exactly the same as JS.
Terminator.
We're talking over each other. It's fine.
Sorry.
Swear.
I had boobies.
And ask you for money.
Just give us the money.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
It can't be silly, goofy fun. Jock and Nerd.
Hi, I'm Eric.
And I'm Aisla.
And together we are the hosts of the Bicurian Podcast.
Bicurian is our answer to the polarizing culture we live in.
Tired of feeling under siege and looking for ways to get involved? Then come be a part of a different way of thinking.
Everything from politics to geek culture to current events that polarize us as a society, we explore multiple ways of looking at things. Please check us out at Bicurian.com and follow us on your favorite social media platform of choice.
Hey, come back.
Big on America.